Hey everyone out there on the internet, my name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
And you are in fact listening to the Carolyn and Joe Show. Hey, I bet at home you're wondering, hey, how can I meet these two fine kids in person? Carolyn's about to tell you how.
Yes, we have three remaining tour dates for 2009. You can join us on May 24th at DC Counterculture Festival in Vienna, Virginia. Then on September 26th and 27th, we will be at Small Press Expo in Bethesda, Maryland. And finally, on October 10th and 11th, we will be at Baltimore Comic Con.
Hey, Carolyn, where can they meet us on the web? Like, what's our webpage?
Oh, it's www.curls-studio.com.
Man, I love this internet. See y'all later. Enjoy the show.
It's either you sit in your room and go crazy or you go out and party. I mean, that's basically how it is. So, I mean, you fall into a rut sometimes on the road. That's how a lot of guys get caught in this rut. But, I mean, it's the nature of the business. I loved it. It was always something that I loved since I was a kid. But being in the business and seeing what it's really like, you know, takes its toll on you, not just physically, but mentally as well. I mean, it's something that you're on the road 300 days a year, you lose track of who you really are. It's horrible. It's been the worst year of my life, you know, without question. I just turned 32 years old and I went to 8 funerals this year. I mean, I shouldn't be going to funerals for 32 years. As bad as this may sound, it opened my eyes. It made me take my foot out of the grave and step back and say, what am I doing? Do I want to join that club? Hell no, I don't want to join that club. So either you clean up, straighten up, or you lay down beside them.
The sending postcards of the hanging, the painting of passports brown, and beauty parlors filled with sailors. Circus is in town. Here comes the blind commissioner. They got him in a trance. One hand is tied to the tightrope walker, the other is in his pants. And the riot squad, they're restless. They need somewhere to go. As Lady and I look out tonight.
Hello, this is the Carolyn and Joe Show. We are here today with Huzzard in
Hello.
Studio.
Hey, and they're clapping for you.
Yay!
They always clap for me.
Well, we just played a clip from Test, a wrestler who just passed away yesterday. Another one.
Another one bites the dust.
Yes.
I mean, I didn't mean to say it like that.
Well, actually, we kind of did, because we'll be right up, and let's just say we are not fans of Test. And I mean, I don't know. I don't want to speak for everyone, but, like, it didn't surprise me at all that he died.
At this point in time with these wrestlers, it's more surprising if they make it past 40.
So bad, man. I just remember when Carolyn told me the news, I was like, of course he died! And what did he die of? Heart failure. Was it steroid induced? Yes, probably.
And he just turned 33. It's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, it's sort of ridiculous. But, you know, we didn't really... I don't know, for some reason I felt like in the back of my head, if there was going to be someone that was going to die next, I probably wasn't thinking Test, but when Test's name came up, I was like, of course! That was the missing piece.
Yeah.
Nothing against Test. I'm sorry.
Well, we never knew him as a person, so, like, it's kind of taking that element out of it.
Yeah.
But just, like, looking at him and, like, his history with the business, it's kind of really obvious what he was doing. So, I don't know what else to say. I mean, just look at him. It says so much.
Well, good to know you, Test. I'm sorry that you died, buddy. And now on to better news. Huzzard.
Yes.
Welcome to the show, man. It's been almost pretty much a year. You know that?
Has it?
It's been a year since you've been the last time
what?
We were on. Yeah.
Has it really?
Yeah.
Wait. What? Huzzard hasn't been on the show in a year? That's not true.
All right, Huzzard, when was the last time you were on the show?
December.
It was probably... No, I wasn't on in December.
Because we...
A year.
The last time Huzzard was on here was...
Was it really a year ago?
We had... It was the time when it was the Carolyn Joe show without Carolyn. We had the...
Oh, yeah.
We talked about Angel, and then some... I don't know what we talked about for the first part of the show, but we talked about something.
I don't remember either.
But that was like a year ago. Welcome back. You're the most controversial person on the show so far.
Thank you.
What are we judging it by?
I don't know. Just by... I don't know.
Glad by, I can bring that spice.
Yeah. But I know you texted me. You texted me on Monday, and a certain movie came out a week ago, right? What was it?
The Watchmen.
And what did you text me? Was it Monday?
I don't remember. I text a lot of people about that movie, but
maybe it was Sunday. You text me. You're like, we need to talk about the Watchmen and from different perspectives or something like that. Where you're like, fuck these people. They don't know what they're talking about. Or I don't know. What did you want to get off your chest here? Well, let's start it off.
Well, see, you know, I saw The Watchmen and it made my brain work. Like, not so much as like, you know, I didn't really have to think about the movie, but I haven't really, you know, thought about stuff in a while.
Yeah. You know what? You should rephrase that.
No, that's what I mean. Like, I've on purpose.
The Watchmen, like, we reawoken your senses.
Yeah. I was an English major in college, so all I did through college was read stuff and think about stories and characterization and all this other bullshit crap.
Yeah.
So when I finished with college, I decided I'm done with that for a while. Every now and then I've gone back and read a book that, you know, is designed to make you think about stuff.
Yeah.
But for the most part, I just didn't really seek that stuff out.
Yeah.
And so then, you know, I saw The Watchmen, and it made me think about all the characterization and the story, and, you know, the ending is a little bit ambiguous, and you can read more into it.
And this is, your perspective is mainly based off of just watching the movie, not the book, right?
Right. I'm reading the book right now. I'm halfway through it.
Okay.
And, you know, but... Yeah, and the themes are pretty much the same.
Yeah.
You know?
As well as they should be.
Yeah. But you know, the ending of the movie seems to be something where a lot of people just don't understand it. It's like they fail to grasp.
Should we warn people ahead of time, like on the show, that who have not seen The Watchmen, who should have seen The Watchmen, that we're about to basically spoil the movie?
All right, yeah. Just right now, if you're listening, hit pause, go to a movie theater, watch The Watchmen,
twice.
Come back, and hit play.
Yes.
Yes.
All right, welcome back. Welcome back, guys.
Hello.
Wait.
This is our Watchmen show.
Yeah. Welcome back
and
to the Watchmen show.
You're watching the Carolyn and Joe show, or listening to. Not watching. But that would be cool if you could watch us one day.
Yes.
Through your computer. It would be crazy.
All right.
What do you think would happen if they could watch our radio show?
They'd look at us and be like, these guys look weird with headsets and all this weird stuff. I don't know. They'd be like, why are they not in a real studio? I thought this was in a real studio. It is. It's a home studio. It's a home studio with expensive-ass mics.
Yeah, but see...
All right, let's go back to what we're talking about.
The thing I noticed when people were debating the ending, a lot of people were debating Rorschach's journal. You know, if that was going to expose everything and the world was going to go back to being the way it was.
Now tell me a situation, how that came up. Like, someone asked you about the movie and was like, what does that ending mean? Let's go through that.
You know, just talking about it with people, like, after the movie, and then, you know, seeking out, like, opinions on the internet and stuff.
Who are these people?
These people, like...
That you talk to...
Are they, nameless people on the internet?
First the people that you talk to in real life, and then the people you talk
to in fake internet life. I went to see the movie with my friend Adam and my wife, Laura. And so, you know, I talked a little bit about the movie with them.
We should remind the audience that this is the same Huzzard we've been talking about for the last three episodes. All right, go ahead.
Yes. So, you know, I talked about it with them. And then, one of the things I do to pass time at work when I get bored with, you know, working, is I go and I read things on message boards.
Okay.
I don't like to actually talk on message boards. I just like to read, because a lot of people on message boards... There's, like, extremes. They're all extremes. There's either people that get nothing, or people who think they get everything but get nothing. And then there's, like, every now and then there's, like, the one sane person that's in the middle.
Now, do you ever post on these message boards? Or do
no.
You only read?
Yes, I don't.
Like, has there ever been a time when you felt compelled to post anything?
No, nothing has. Okay. Because I figured out a long time ago, I used to post on message boards, but I figured out a long time ago that since these people are in the extremes, you're never gonna, like, you know, it's pointless to argue with them, and if you don't want to join them, then there's no reason to post.
Yeah, okay. Basically. Sorry, as I actually post on Twitter as we speak right now. Yeah. Yes, we are actually doing that, posting on Twitter live while we record this for you guys. All right, go ahead, read your story.
Okay, well, so I was reading, you know, people, you know, were debating about Rorschach's journal, if it was gonna, you know, cause the world to go back to the way it was with not being at peace.
Yeah, because that would be the final piece.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's inconsequential to the ending. You know, the world is going to go back to the way it was no matter what.
Yeah.
Over time, you know, it's going to be where people are just going to be mad at each other.
Someone's going to
want to kill each other.
Yeah.
People just, you know, because... You know, you think the fear of Dr. Manhattan is going to stop, like, MS-13 from going around chopping off people's arms?
Was there MS-13 in 85?
There's got to be. Well, I mean, there were some gangs. There were the Bloods, the Crips. There's got to be gangs somewhere. And then there was the IRA.
MS-13 is, like, the gangs that just, I guess, for people who don't know. Do they exist beyond... They exist beyond our...
Yeah, yeah, everywhere.
All right, it's just... But they are mainly what?
They're the main gang in this area.
They're El Salvadorian gang. They're made up of of people who fought in the El Salvadorian Civil War.
Maybe those were hand. Maybe those are the guys that actually attacked Dan and what's her face in the alleyway.
Maybe they were
with the little knots in their heads.
Silk Spectre 2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Modern.
But you know, it all these problems just got rid of the two main powers in the world. Russia or the Soviet Union and the United States.
Yeah.
And, you know, back when the book was written, that hadn't happened yet. But as we've seen, when there is peace between, this, you know, Russia and the United States,
yeah,
war still goes on. It hasn't stopped, you know, because people still will always fight. Because they'll always want something from someone else, and there'll always be someone that doesn't have a conscience or any, you know, thing stopping them from just taking it.
So it's basically like it's inevitable that human nature will take over.
Yes.
Human nature is to what? In your opinion, to what?
Well, it's just, you know, human nature is, you know, it's a complicated thing, and it differs from human to human. And there's always going to be those humans that just don't have that voice in their head that says this is not the right thing to do.
Yeah.
There's always going to be those people with a bad chip in their
so were
brain.
were these like heated like discussions with the people that were online or people that were, because I did, you know, after I watched the movie like that night, hold on, after I watched the movie like that night, I went directly on the message boards.
You know, what does that mean about you guys?
Well, I mean, because it's just sort of our culture, because I'm like, wow, I watched it, I loved it, and there's probably, that means that everyone
to
else probably
boards.
Hated it. Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, mainly that's what happens. Whenever I like a movie, I'd go online, and majority of the time, people be like, the fuck are you talking about, man? You're wrong.
So,
it
Joe,
sucks.
Do you write on those?
No, I don't write on any message board whatsoever.
But
I look at it.
You're like Hazard, you just read, too.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, and,
me
you
too.
Know, I think there's a lot of people out there that do that.
I, like, very, very, very rarely reply to message boards. Like, I've only done it a few times in my life.
Well,
so.
This, the one of the main reasons I do not go on and comment on a message board, because most likely or not, if I were to pose an opinion, there'd be a dumbass afterwards that's gonna assume that they know what they're fucking talking about. And, you know, maybe I might not know what I'm talking about, but I feel like I come from an honest place. But then they say something completely idiotic. And no matter what, there would have been a comment about someone's mom and be like, whatever, man, your mom's gay.
Or they'll
gay.
Say something's gay, yeah.
Yeah, you're gay. It's just like always that. You're gay. And then it'll be followed by someone trying to be overly smart and write a whole paragraph. And it's just this on and off of, like, basically no one's giving. Like, no one's going to give. Like, no one's going to be like, oh, I'm wrong, dude. Here, I apologize. It's on record now. You know what I mean? They're just not going to post anymore. There's no formal apology ever on the internet, basically.
It's just a place that's funny to read because it's, like, it's the extremes. It's just idiots arguing against idiots.
Yeah. And then, I mean, at least with our radio show, I mean, now that we have a message board posted, we might be opening up a whole can of worms that might come back and kill us. But we have all of our opinions, and, you know, at least we stand up to them. You know what I mean?
We don't really care about your opinion.
Yeah, I don't really give a flying fuck. Go and just, you know, go to your favorite website and do whatever. But at least I'm taking initiative to put my voice out there harder than anyone else can. I don't know. Whatever. This is
so
all internet's bullshit.
So basically, back to the Watchmen, we're saying that there can be no world peace.
Yeah, what are you talking about again?
The ending.
It's gonna get intense.
I want to get to the intense part.
Okay.
I want to get to the part maybe where like someone's like, "Well, fuck you, man. Maybe it's not about that." And you're like going toe to toe, and you're like, "Well, listen." And then you're typing on your message board.
So what were the comments that aggravated you on the message boards, and what were the comments that you were like, "Heck yeah, I agree with you."
It was the whole general argument that they were arguing about the wrong piece of the puzzle. You know, it would be like if you know, I can't think of an analogy right now, but you know, if you're arguing about something that's you know, like in a different place than where the argument should actually be taking place.
It's trivial, basically, what they're arguing about.
Yeah, they're arguing about if, you know, the paper prints Rorschach's journal, will this expose Vet and then cause, you know, Russia and the United States to go back to trying to blow each other up?
What should they be arguing about, in your opinion?
I mean, they should be arguing about, well, you know, human nature, will other forces out there. You know, because these two countries can't go back to the way they were. The major cities were blown up.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're going to launch missiles, what do you launch them at now that there's nothing, no real targets? Because everything that was a target is already blown up.
I think this is also the great thing about the actual material of The Watchmen is that it's actually, you know, it's taking those elements from real life. And, you know, you don't see that in Spider-Man.
No.
You don't see that in, you know, Fantastic Four or something like that. You don't see that in The Punisher. You know, they're actually taking, you know, real life experiences and basically using that in the device of the storytelling in the actual book. Did that work for a bigger audience? I don't know. What do you think? Do you think this movie actually would work for an audience that has not seen The Watchmen? At that time, did you see The Watchmen? I mean, have you read The Watchmen?
I hadn't read The Watchmen at that time. And, you know, I had The Watchmen. I was going to read it. And, you know, I wanted to wait until I saw the movie. Because I like to do that. I like to see if there's a movie, I like to see it first and then read the book.
Mm-hmm.
Because oftentimes with a book, it has stuff that's not in the movie. So it's like, you know, a director's cut version of the movie. And
did it play to you? Like, were you able to understand things? Did it work as just a standalone movie? Because that's one thing I always wondered. Because I already knew the ending since 1995. You know, so, and that was like one thing that I always knew. I was like, this is what it was all about. I mean, not that this was what it was all about, but this is where everything's heading. And it's a mystery that I always believed that would work better as a series. I'd go on the line. I'm eating an orange. I'll basically go on the line to say I was very fearful of this Zack Snyder adaption. Because, you know, I don't think Zack Snyder is that good of a director. As in, let's develop characters, let's develop a story. Because what has he done that's original so far?
What do you think are his high points?
What are his high points?
Yeah.
That he has nudity in each one of his stories. I don't know. His high points is that he's given great opportunity to take these graphic novels or comic books, really, that are, you know, that have been, you know, cherished and given the opportunity to do them right. And I think he's honestly done that properly. But as a director, I don't know how good he is because, you know, he's sort of repeating the same stuff he's always done, the same motifs, the same...
The one thing I can say about The Watchmen, for people that are saying, like, oh, well, you know, they always ruin Alan Moore, they always... Like,
and they do!
I will say...
They go out and they rape the property.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
they have
I
a baby.
Completely...
they have a bastard baby, and then they
baby.
Yeah, and they try to sue... Then the baby tries to sue Alan Moore. That's what happens.
And the baby was like, I want money from you.
Yeah.
And he was like, what? But, like, I'm just saying that... In all of the Alan Moore movies, like, which includes From Hell, The League, and V for Vendetta.
Even so Constantine was created by Alan Moore.
But I haven't seen Constantine, but I'm just saying, like, from watching all those movies, just from a movie experience, if you were to envision and take away the book,
yeah,
and just from a movie experience, I really think that Watchmen is the best adaptation.
All right, let's go around the table,
of Alan
then.
Moore work.
Since...
Into film.
I'll let me answer mine last, since... Hazard's next to you. What is your, out of all the Alan Moore movies, is Watchmen the best, or did the Hughes brothers do better?
I think by far,
the Wachowski brothers do better.
I think hands down, the Watchmen is best Alan Moore movie.
Like hands.
Well, I think as a movie, you know, if you're just watching it purely for a movie, I think the Watchmen, you know, in some ways, was the best movie. I think V for Vendetta, in other ways, was a better movie.
Like, we're just talking about a movie, not like an adaptation of a movie, right?
I think the pacing in V for Vendetta was a little better than in The Watchmen. The Watchmen, at times, you know, I could have taken a nap and not missed anything. But, you know, in V for Vendetta, you got to watch every scene. But I still enjoyed The Watchmen. You know, I think it was a good, you know, as a character study and as a movie, it worked really well.
See, for me, I'm going to talk about V for Vendetta. I had the biggest problem I had with V for Vendetta was that basically they changed the whole idea of what V for Vendetta like stood for. Like, that was a book that's supposed to, you know, it's supposed to drive home the idea of anarchy, of like basically no government and ruled by the people. But all of a sudden, this one had more of a different side of, you know, a different sided agenda. You know what I mean? And also really love I mean, it's one of those things where there's a lot of great stuff in the book, and they basically just like took it out, and not even took it out, but just like, oh, that was a cool idea, we'll do something different. And that's what I enjoyed out of the Watchmen, was they stuck as close as they possibly could. You know, they stuck really as close as they possibly freaking could. Even if they did change, if something was different, the dialogue was still there from the book. But it's like the background was meaningless, really. Like, you know, it's like, oh, now we're in a diner. But, you know, it's like there's one scene where they're talking in a diner when the scene that took place in the movie, they were talking on a roof. It's they changed stuff like that, which is trivial, but it's just sort of like, okay, because it looks better to be in a diner than on a roof. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's like those things. What did you think about the... what did you actually think about the addition of... How far... You're halfway into it, right? What chapter
halfway
are you on?
Halfway through. I just got past the part where Rorschach gets captured.
How far are you, Carolyn, in the book?
Chapter 5.
So you're both in the same...
Yeah, they're the same book.
But I read the first...
are you reading...
the first two chapters before I saw the film.
Did you... But are you reading the under the hood stuff and the...
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'm reading that.
All right, Carolyn, tell a story about your under the hood.
Like, whenever I get to the under the hood part, maybe it's just because I'm really tired or what, but, like, it makes me want to fall asleep. Like, I think the writing is good and everything, but as soon as I get through, like, a page and a half, I, like, really start to doze off.
Is that what happened to you?
I think also because, like, the type is all small, and it's just, like... I mean, maybe it's because I'm reading it, like, right before I go to bed. I don't know. But I'm just saying, like, the type is super small and, like, the line length is all long. It just, like, kind of makes me sleepy in my eyes. Like, have you ever done this when you're, like, you're reading it, but it's not going in your head, and then you'll, like, go, like, a page, and then you're like, I didn't even read any of that. And yeah. Then you have to go back. Like, what is that called? I don't know.
Mental detachment?
I don't know.
But it's like you're reading it, but then it's not going in your brain.
It happens to me all the time.
Like your eyes...
I'm 20 pages into this shit.
But the eyes is like there? Going back and forth. You're going down the page, and then you'll flip the page, keep going, and then all of a sudden it'll strike you that you're like, what? I didn't read any of this. And then you have to flip back a couple pages, and then you're like, oh, here I was. This is the last part I remember. Then you have to reread it.
Thinking about something else when that happens. I started like daydreaming while reading.
Yeah,
which doesn't work at all.
See, I don't like that, because then really, like, if I'm reading a novel, it's not like, oh, I can go back to the and look at the picture like in a comic book. When I'm reading a novel, it's gone. I don't remember what the hell it was.
Yeah.
But
I mean, I like Under the Hood. I'm just saying, like, I don't know. Whenever I reach that part, I always seem to fall asleep.
Well, at least for you guys, since you've read the first 5 chapters of it, you've already seen the differences of the book, right? Than from the movie. Like, even the opening and the fights. What do you guys think about that?
Well, the fights in the movie, I actually like the action scenes in the movie, because I'm kind of tired of these damn, you know, like the Bourne movies. And, you know, The Dark Knight and Batman Begin did it too, where basically they take a camera, put it on a rope, swing it around their head in the middle of 2 people, and that's a fight.
I don't know if that's what they actually do.
But it looks like that, and it looks like shit and makes me want to puke.
Is that how they did that in The Dark Knight? Because I remember that's how they shot the Batman Begins. You know, it's funny because I haven't even watched The Dark Knight since I've seen it in the theater.
Yeah, I don't remember how they did the fight scenes in The Dark Knight. I think they were a little better. Because I remember actually being able to see the people and see them punching each other.
I know, like, this one was more, you know, this resembled more of, like, say, the Wachowski brothers style of fighting.
Yeah.
It's basically, like, slow motion. I think that's the way that Zack Snyder is cheating. It's not, maybe it's not cheating, but that's how he's getting those frames from the comic book. He's like, well, I'm just going to slow it down.
Yeah.
Just going to slow it down. So people have no choice to be like, look, that's from the comic book right there. Eat it. You know what I mean?
Probably.
Because it was in 300 when he started using.
Did you see the
3?
Did you see the 300 in the movie, in the Watchmen?
No.
Right when the door of the apartment number of the comedian's door is 3001. When he throws, I forget what he throws. He throws something and it smashes the one. And you just see 300.
Oh my gosh, I didn't notice that.
How? Yeah, because I saw it
it's
twice.
Pretty cool though.
When you text me,
you notice that the first time?
I know, yeah, I already knew it was coming up.
Oh. Because you read it on the internet.
I already knew all the changes. I just ruined the whole movie for me. I just wanted to see how it actually play as a movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, already knew all those changes, and they had like the ending. Like the ending's different. It's a Dr. Manhattan explosion. So you guys don't know what the ending is for
the book.
For the book yet.
I know what it is in the book.
No, don't tell me.
I mean, if you search on the internet, everyone knows about it. But I felt that the ending, this one still works. It's bigger, you know? I don't know if it was as cool visually, though.
We should play. I'll try to look for it on YouTube while you talk. But, like, one of my favorite videos of the past, like, few weeks that I discovered on YouTube was Alan Moore talking about magic.
All right, you should find that.
Yeah, because, like, I just want to say that Alan Moore is so cool. Like, his brain... I just like the way his brain thinks. And I like that he's a magician.
It's a very cool brain. What did you think about the music in The Watchmen?
I thought most of the time that he had stolen, you know, Martin Scorsese's library of music.
I thought it was Francis Ford Coppola.
It was a good...
It was a mix of both.
But, you know, it...
But the thing is, that's also in the book, too. Or at least, yeah, I know. At least like a percentage of them.
Yeah.
Not really, like, in the book, but quoted in the book at some point.
End of chapter quotes or middle of chapter
here
quotes.
Here it is.
What's that, the Alan Moore?
Yeah, can we play it?
Sure. Describe it for us before we...
Okay, wait, hold on. First of all, it has, like, this room, and then Alan Moore suddenly, like, appears.
All right, here we go.
Basically, what everybody means by magic, I mean a rabbit out of a hat. I mean something... emerging demonstrably from nothing. So to a certain degree, in that I would include our physical universe emerging from a single point in a quantum vacuum. I would include any human thought or idea or work of art.
I like this with
which
music.
Which demonstrably starts out nowhere. Starts out in the silence of our minds. First there is no idea, then there is the flickering of an idea, then there is a fully realized idea, and then finally we have a physical artifact which we can hold in our hands. We have a book, we have a painting. This to me is a magical act. Any act of creation is a magical act, which is probably why I tend to express most of my magical thinking in terms of creative
action. This is crazy.
Turn it into a piece of writing, or a set of images, or a performance, so that other people can share the information concerning that realm, then to me, that is part of what a magician's job is.
All right,
and he disappeared.
So describe that, Carolyn. Why'd you like that scene so much?
I like Alan Moore a lot. Especially, like, I've already known about Alan Moore for the past few years. But then when I saw that clip on YouTube, like, it really made me really, really like him a whole lot. Because, like, it's true. Every day, humans are creating something from nothing. Like, absolutely nothing. Like, a story in their head. Or, like, anything from, like, a blank computer screen or a blank piece of paper.
Yeah.
It's like, where does all this come from? It is magic. But I like the way he articulated that. And it was cool to, like, hear him, like, say that.
Was that the first time you've seen that, Huzzard?
Yes, it was.
Are you a fan of Alan Moore stuff?
I am. But see, my philosophy on storytelling
is... I wish we can see your hand motions on the radio. That's what people... When we broadcast that live...
See, we need to have our own
We always have hand motions.
Everyone has hand motions. But, you know, it's just... My philosophical belief on storytelling differs from his.
How so?
When he said, you know, you get a final product...
Wait, but he was talking about magic, though.
Yes, he's talking about magic and storytelling as a creative idea becoming, you know, something, becomes an idea, becomes... you know, a final product eventually. A book or a movie or something. Final. But as we've seen throughout time, that's not true.
Yeah.
You know, books become movies, become plays, become a book again.
I remember you had a theory how you sort of... I might not share the same thoughts on this, but you had a theory how motion picture should be like the greatest medium. Yeah, I forgot totally what it was.
Well, it wasn't that it should be the greatest... It's... it is the medium that allows the most freedom.
Now let's describe that. Let's put it on tape.
Because you have all
the world
will
know. Let's start from the beginning.
Okay, you have at the beginning of a movie.
Well, say what's the point you're trying to get across and then break it down.
Well, the point is that you know, from these, that a movie is not one medium.
Okay.
It is a final of multiple mediums.
Yeah.
You view it and you hear it and, you know, other things go into it. But, you know, you go back to the beginning of what makes up a movie.
Yeah.
You have, you know, someone writes a script. You know, then you take that script, which is, you know, writing. It's
words,
written down.
Words on a paper.
Yes. And then you take it and you give it to, you know, someone. You find a director or, you know, a casting director or a producer.
Or someone buys it. Someone
buys it. And then it becomes theirs.
Yeah.
And they go, they read the script and they make changes to it to make it better, hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully better.
Yes. And then, you know, then you get someone that casts it to make, you know, the actors fit the role of these characters.
Hopefully.
Yes. And they become these characters.
Hopefully becomes the characters. Yes.
Then you have someone fills it with music and sound and lighting and all these different elements that go into it. So at the end, you have something that's not just, you know, an oral storytelling or just reading something from a page or watching it on a stage,
yeah,
or something. You have, or listening to something on a CD. It's all of those things combined together to create one thing.
And that's why it should be great.
Yes, that's why it should be the medium that allows for the greatest amount of greatness.
See, I love that theory, and reality always proves how much humanity can just fuck things up.
Yes. You know, I thought about this today. I had this thought today. The Godfather is widely regarded...
The first one?
Yes.
Okay.
As one of the best movies ever made.
Yeah.
But the Godfather book, not even on the list.
So basically, that's an example of film basically elevating the book to a different presence.
Right. And, you know, if people always have this theory that books are better than movies.
Yeah.
If that's true, then whatever the best book ever written is like more than 100 times better than the best movie ever.
Well, in the case of The Watchmen, I would have to say that the book, you know, Time Magazine, everyone always raves that Time Magazine put it in as the top 100 books of all time. And that's like its big credit. And then it certified comic books as like a legitimate literary form. But at the same time, it's like, what, are you twittering?
I'm twittering. We're talking about greatness.
Oh, yes. Talking about greatness. Now, but at that same time, it's like, okay, so the book is in the top 100 books of the, you know, The Watchmen.
Yeah.
But then the movie, I will have to say, like, it was a good movie, but it's not in the top 100 movies of all time.
Well, see, that's the thing is that I have a problem with, that I knew that I was going to have a problem with anyway. I was like, this is by far, at that time, the greatest movie, not greatest comic book ever created, you know? And I was talking this with Carolyn before. I was like saying, well, you're getting bored reading like the supplemental like reading at the very end. I mean, that's cool, but like,
I wasn't getting bored.
Or
I was
sleepy. It would get tiresome. But like in my experience, the comic book experience, not the graphic novel experience, but a comic book experience, when you know something is going to be coming in a month or so, like, you have all that time to read it and to reread it and to relive it. And then you're like, wow, it's a new episode comes out. Like, that is part of the experience. You know, that's why that is a great comic book experience, because it unfolds with your life.
Something my teachers was always saying in school and stuff whenever they talk about comic books was that the comic book medium is, like, already better than movies, because even just due to budget concerns and stuff, it's like you can blow stuff up, you can have a plane flying, you can shoot in Antarctica, you can shoot, like, under the ocean, you can shoot basically wherever your comic wants to go. You can go in outer space, you can go into, like, a world that isn't even existing right now.
And that's one of the main reasons why I really enjoy writing for comics, because when I have to do stuff in the motion picture industry, I have to bring it down. You know, I always have to bring it down. I'm like, no, we can't do that. I'm like, well, fuck. Then I'll just bring it. I'll do something else smaller so we can do it. But like with comic books, we can have full on riots, and then that riot turns into a parade of some sort. You know,
mm-hmm.
Like these gigantic, like, just events can happen, and we don't have to worry about, like, you know, we gotta pay everyone here. But also,
even like the capabilities of like doing that. Like, if you just say outer space, it's yeah. like, I mean, sure, like, you know, they can do CGI and whatever else. Like, you can, there are ways yeah. of, like, doing things, but then at the same time, it's also, like, much more doable in comics.
And, you know, and I bring this back. Like, Huzzard, did you ever get the book Long Halloween? Or you know of it?
I know of it.
Well, you know, the great thing about the Long Halloween for me was when I bought the first issue on Halloween, and, like, it was a mystery that unfolded throughout the year. Just like how, like, the first Veronica Mars was, or when you're watching Dexter, that you get to live through it, like, piece by piece, you know? And that's why I felt that, like, if you're going to do The Watchmen, it has to be a series, like an HBO or more or less a Showtime series. Neither one, I don't know. It'd probably be better with Showtime since they have Dexter and Weeds and all that.
Well, you
know?
Showtime doesn't have the production value.
Yeah, but the production
HBO.
Value. But if you look at it, if you look at Watchmen, does it really need that big of a production value?
Yes.
No. Well, to make Dr. Manhattan look like blue.
Yeah, dude.
Like, could you just imagine if it was like Lou Ferrigno painted blue?
Yeah, I know. Right? That'd be, but like, see, that's the thing is I'm saying is that like, to fully enjoy The Watchmen as what it is, you would have to live with it. And then like, that's why at that's why I didn't really feel as strong about the ending in the movie as I did in the book. Because at least when I saw the ending, when he's like, I did it 30 minutes ago. You're like, well, fuck. When I read that, when I read that in the book, I'm like, I just spent like 2 years. Well, if I were living in like whatever in 87, I was like, I just spent 2 years of my or a year of my life, and these guys are trying to save the day, and they find out who saved the day, and they're like, we finally got you, and then it's like, haha, I already did it, bitch. that is like for that to happen back then, because now you have that like you have a twist like that in almost every story, you know. But back then, to have that, like, in a comic book, that blow people away. Mm-hmm. Specifically how, like, whenever Alan Moore writes anything, it's not a throwback as opposed to being a deconstruction of like, a character or a comic book. But see, that's what The Watchmen was. It's like he took a group, and then he's like, let's deconstruct it, right? And let's show, you know, what if Batman or whoever was really, like, vicious and this guy retired? Like, they really showed that. Like, what you're saying, Huzzard, like, the characters were so strong.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically a character study.
Yeah.
Because there's no character that exists that's, you know, in the middle of anything.
Yeah.
They're all on the extremes.
Yeah.
I mean, Vett is an extreme pragmatist.
And that's a good thing that, like, I finally knew how to pronounce these names.
Yeah. I was like, is it Vett or Veet?
Is that how
Ozymandias.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know how to pronounce that right, dude.
He's an extreme pragmatist. He is as extreme as you can get on, you know, you do whatever you have to do the right thing.
Yeah,
and
because he's the smartest man in the world. He knows that's what you have to do, too.
Yeah, but ultimately he fails because he gets so caught up in his ideology that he just can only see one thing. And it just says, no matter how smart you are, if you get caught into one idea, you're going to fail.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you got Rorschach, who is just, he's basically Jack Bauer.
Yeah.
Though
I've never watched that.
He will do what he feels is right till the very end, no matter what.
Yeah.
I like Rorschach. I think he's my favorite character so far, but I have to finish reading the book to make that official.
Well, I think they went pretty close to what happens to him in the book, as
but
opposed
I still,
to,
I don't
I mean,
want to make it like official until I read the whole thing.
Like, I feel like they made Rorschach even like more vicious in the movie
because of the jail scenes.
Well, the jail
are the jail scenes even like in the book?
Yeah, all that stuff is in the book. The thing that they
but
did,
but I did like you know when we were talking about the cinematic way of like how he put that guy in the other room
yeah.
and the door was going back and
yeah.
forth. Like, that was cool.
That's not in the book.
But I thought that was, like, a good way of changing it for the medium.
I feel that, like, they put as much as they could, but they had to take stuff out. But everything you see in the movie, you know, pretty much, like, at least location is in the book. I mean, they can't really change. He tried to... I mean, there's big dramatic things, like visuals that are different. Because you were talking about, you're like, who is that cat guy that's with them?
The Lynx.
Yeah, no, that wasn't that.
What?
Well, you'll find out in the book what
Wait,
that...
Wait, but isn't it like a lynx?
No.
Like it's a manipulated lynx?
No.
It's a genetically enhanced lynx.
It's a...
Big ears.
It's like a combination fried rice type deal that's happening with that.
What?
Genetically altered cat.
Yeah.
It makes sense in the story. That cat makes complete sense in the book.
But like, in the movie, you're just watching it. And you're like, what the heck is this?
Yeah, in the movie, you're like, what the fuck is this thing? Dude, I have no idea. But it makes sense in the book if you find out page by page what's happening in the overall story.
See, in the movie, I didn't think it fit his movie character to have the cat there all like.
Yeah, because it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Unless he's just some sort of perverted, like. Because they didn't really establish as much who or what he's really doing, you know?
You know, like, I've.
But when I watched the movie a second time, you know how, like. They're teleporting. He's teleporting those bombs.
Yeah.
If you watch the movie a second time, you can actually see when he's teleporting those bombs. Every time you see Antarctica, a shot of his place, you can slightly see something teleport inside. That's one thing I picked up again. Oh, it's like, gosh. When you watch it, like, you know, you have like All Along the Watchtower playing and you see them crashing. But then you watch, like, if you watch in the background, his building. You see, because you know when things teleport, you see the light flash and it implodes. You actually see that every single time you see them, you know, you see a shot of the building, which is pretty awesome. But it's not like, you know, not the center of interest, because, you know, each time he had when you see like the countdown of all the buildings or all the cities being exploded, the times are different. So he's been doing it for past 30 minutes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's only like New York was the last one. No, it's just a cool thing that you can, like, that I picked on. I picked on all these crazy things in the background and watched the second time. That's why I liked watching it the second time. I mean, like, it was tough because, like, I was already tired and it was like 2 o'clock. Like, when we watched it, it was like, you know, the 9 o'clock show, and I hadn't slept like the whole day and stuff like that.
Yeah.
There's always more that you're going to catch when you already know the ending, because they always throw in stuff that hints at it.
Yeah.
You know, and you're not going to get that until you know what the ending is.
And, like, you know, after watching the movie, I still believe that it probably would have, if they kept around the same budget, it would probably be just as awesome, more awesome, if they did it as a series. There's just so much. I mean, I wish they kept the line that they had in the comic book of, like, when Rorschach was like, Adrian, possibly homosexual, must investigate the further.
Yeah. I remember that one was like one of my favorites. It's in like the first chapter when I read it, and I was like, that's awesome.
Dude, like 2 days before we watched the movie Hazard, I bought the motion comic because I saw a review for it, and they're like, it's so good, it's like 5 hours long. I was like, if they, you know, that's what it would be. If they had translated the whole movie, it would have been 5 hours long.
Yeah, see, you know, and I also think another reason they should have done it as a series is when you're watching the movie, they'll focus on certain characters for a long period of time.
Yeah.
And then, like, in my mind, I'd start to think, well, I was interested in what was going on with this other person. When the hell are they going to get back to that?
So that's one of the greatest things about the book. It's like, imagine, I don't know, do you watch Lost?
No.
But there's certain, from what I hear, I don't really watch Lost. From what I hear, on each episode of Lost, they focus on a character. And, like, this is what happens to them here, and this is what happens to them there. I'm assuming. People can comment online and tell me if I'm wrong. But that's how it is in the book. You're going from, you know, character to character.
Yeah,
except in the movie they cram it all in there, and they're like, you know.
Yeah, but you know, it just didn't go from character to character fast enough, in my, you know, opinion. They would focus on a character for a period of time, and then you get almost to the point where you forgot that there was another character.
Yeah.
You know.
What was your favorite parts of the Watchmen movie? Now that we can just like say it out.
Well, I think my favorite part was the whole Rorschach in prison part.
Hell yeah.
That was a good part. And then I enjoyed the
spit it out, man.
The Dr. Manhattan, his whole like flashback of how he became himself.
Did you enjoy him being nude? Did you think that they were going to go that far?
It actually wasn't grotesque, though. It wasn't like, oh, look at it, it's just hanging out.
But
it wasn't like
when I was thinking about the book, I'm like, how much of this are they going to keep in? Because I remember watching Sin City, and then they had to cut out because, you know, Hardigan in Sin City, like at the end, he's all naked everywhere.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I was like, they're probably going to pull a Sin City and like. You know, but we're going to pull a Rodriguez.
They revealed Dr. Manhattan's thing, like, slightly. Like, even in the beginning, you can tell, like, he was doing, like, a quarter turn, but they wouldn't quite show it,
but
like, full on.
You got to remember, like, if he were to do a quarter turn, that scene that you're talking about, like, a giant man would have turned and you just see his big ass dong, like demolishing cities.
Yeah,
you know what
they,
I mean?
I'm just telling you that the way they revealed it was in a subtle way. It was.
It would not have been subtle if you turned into that. That'd be crazy.
He's just like, hey, look, I'm naked.
Well, that was a way, you know. In the book, he starts
it
out.
It wasn't disturbing at all.
With
don't
a
they
full costume in the book?
Yeah.
He has a like a hat and everything. And then he's like, I'm not gonna wear this hat.
Yeah, he's like,
but he's wearing the rest of it.
I started.
Okay,
then
he's
like,
a nudist.
He starts caring less. Yeah. He's like, I'm not like these humans. I don't need this.
He takes it off. Now it's just like a tank top and jeans. He's like, oh, I don't need the tank
top
anymore. But he's like, now I'm just in a Speedo.
I'm just naked.
But I still have the tank top at this point. I don't need this tank top. By the time he gets to Vietnam, it's like, I might as well just wear the Speedo.
Yeah.
It's like...
It's just a way to show that he's like losing his humanity because he doesn't feel the need for clothes anymore.
Oh, he's fucking blue, dude. It's blue and he glows.
When I was reading the book, I noticed that when he got, his first girlfriend, Janie?
Yeah.
Like he got her,
I thought Janie was a bitch, by the way. She didn't care.
He got her earrings, and the earrings like had the same symbol as his forehead.
That's true. So are you at that part where you know that you get the scene where he put that in his forehead?
Yeah.
See, I wish that, you know, like how they.
I don't think I'm there yet.
Oh.
He put something in his forehead.
No, he
drew the thing.
Oh,
there's a scene where he draws that. Like,
yeah.
That would have been cool to include. It might be in the director's cut because.
Yeah, when he explains what it is.
Yeah. I mean, like, the news
or
was...
Or do you like when that other guy was coming at him with a logo and he was like, this is an atomic symbol. That's not me.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
See, that stuff is awesome, like, in the comic book because you have all that detail. But now you just see him drawing it and doing the dot, and that's it. You get, like, that flashback.
And then the guy was like, oh, that works.
Do you guys think that the Watchmen story works today? Like, do you think if people actually... All right, what would be a reason why...
I think it's very current, even though it was written... When was it written? Over 20 years ago.
But do you think the audience, like a movie audience, do you think that works for them today?
I think it works for some people. I mean, everything's not going to work for everyone. But I think it works in a way because of the character study aspect. Because you'll look at it and you'll see parts of yourself in all the characters.
Yeah.
You know, everyone at times in their lives feels detached from humanity.
Yeah.
Everyone at times...
Feels like Dr. Manhattan,
yeah,
is what you're saying.
Yeah, everyone wants to do the right thing no matter how they view the right thing. You know, because, you know, you look at Rorschach as a level of morality where he has one right thing. There is only one right thing, and that's to punish evil.
Yeah.
And, you know, these certain set things are defined as evil. You know, murder and stealing and those things. And
raping the girl and then killing her.
Yes, and feeding her to dogs. And then having...
Wait, he didn't say anything about raping. Did he rape the girl?
No, the other guy raped the girl.
Oh, okay.
Remember, there was, underwear? Yeah.
He's like, yeah, I raped her. Yeah, and then I cut her up. And then that was a huge surprise to see Rorschach go basically at his, you know,
like right
cut
his forehead?
Head up open and shit like that.
Yeah.
And it's cool because it's sort of
he's
like...
He's very much like Dexter in a way.
It's true. He is very much like Dexter.
Well, I mean, they're both anti-heroes. They both fit this, you know, the anti-hero formula. That is a character... Who's does the right thing in a morally ambivalent way, but they're right.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just that they go about the wrong way, but they're doing the right thing.
Do you think this movie came out at the right time?
I don't know if there is a right time.
I mean, it sort of sucked. Like, you have all the Fox thing, you know, the Fox legalities and all that stuff. And at the end of the day, I feel the people that lost was Warner Brothers. But if you think about it at the end, that's what they fucking get, man, for screwing over Alan Moore like that.
Yeah. So it's like...
There's a comic...
It's just like a smile, like, you know, the smiley face with the blood on it. It's just like the comedian's pin, like, just laughing at them back at it.
Did I ever show you... there's a comic strip that basically... there's a scene in the comic strip where Osmond Dias is happy about like what he said he saved the world. You know, like there's a shot, there's several panels like that, and he's like, "We did it!" You know, there's a comic strip that basically replaced him and put a drawing of Alan Moore in there, and all the word bubbles that are surrounding it say like, "Warner Brothers loses millions. No one watched The Watchmen. Who knew?" Like it's all these things. And you see Alan Moore start to cry, and he goes like at the end panel, he's like, "I did it!" And then Warner Brothers shuts down.
Oh, man.
It's well, really cr-
But you know what about the timing, though? I think at least for me as a person, like, if I was to read... Like, I've always wanted to read Watchmen. I've always heard good things about it. I just never got around to it until, like, a week before the movie came out. But it's like, you know, at least having the movie come out, like, gave me an opportunity to read the book.
Yeah.
And then... So it does expose people to the actual book. And I think most people that see the film, like, want to actually read the book afterwards.
That's good, because when we went to Borders today, it was like a whole wall of just smiley face, the smiley face eye.
Yeah, and, like, and, you know, my mom's a librarian, and she's like, that's the number one book, you know? Like, and she doesn't really know that much about comics, but, like, you know, she at least gave her attention to it.
Yeah.
So I guess it is getting out to, like, the general public. And then, at least for me as a person, like, if I was to read this book 5 years ago or 10 years ago, I don't think I would, like, fully get it, because, like, this book is super intellectual, like,
yeah.
and that's not to disadvantage myself, but I'm just saying, if I was to read this book when I was, I don't know, 16 or something, I don't know if I would, like, fully, like, really understand it, like, as an adult, because it's pretty heavy subject matter.
Yeah,
I mean, like, it deals with, like, all, like, aspects of humanity,
like you know, real human politics and all that. You know, human experiences.
Like, so I think it's, like, a good time for me to, like, really get it. Like, and I'm fully getting it.
I can't wait. Like, I highly doubt there's going to be, like, they're going to release the director's cut in the theater now. Since the only reason they were going to do that was if they made a certain amount of money. But I can't wait for the Ultimate Edition in fall. Because now you're going to have all the stuff intercut. Because now you guys have seen where they have, like, the Black Frightener.
Yeah.
Like, the whole, basically, that the pirate tale and all that stuff, they're gonna throw that in the Ultimate Edition. I'm gonna wait for that.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see how they do that.
Because so do you think they're gonna release their DVD and then, like, not release the, like, really, really hardcore collector edition until, like, half a year later?
No, that's supposed to come out in fall. Like,
but you know what I'm talking about?
No,
how
the
they
normal
do, like,
DVD is coming out in July.
Okay.
And the next one's coming out, like, November.
So are you going to wait for November?
I'm going to wait.
Okay, cool.
I want to see that thing put together, because they're going to have two versions of it.
See,
in
that's
one disc.
That's a DVD that I think I should own.
Yeah.
I haven't bought, like, an actual movie for a while, because there's really been nothing that made me want to buy it.
Are you going to buy it in Blu-ray, or are you going to have a Blu-ray player by then?
Probably not. That's probably that's half the reason why I haven't bought a movie, because when I want to watch a movie now in HD, I just go onto Xbox Live and download the thing. And I figured, you know, I pay, you know, $4, somewhere around that, to watch it. And, you know, to get a DVD, I'd have to watch a movie 5 times on Xbox Live, and I'm not going to do that. So it's not, you know, cost-effective or, you know, really worth it for me to go and spend $200 for a Blu-ray player and then, you know, $20 for each DVD.
Hey, back on the subject of the movie The Watchmen, did you enjoy that sex scene with the music? The Hallelujah song in the background? Was that surprising?
It made perfect sense to the scene. I just, like, you know, I understand why people didn't like it, because now they can't jerk off to the scene.
Because it's comedic.
Yeah.
It's like, you're like, I can't take it this far.
Yeah. I mean, it takes the scene and makes
it... turn the sound off.
They could, but you need
the
sound.
Well, they can't do it now. Maybe the director's cut.
Like the Beulah porn DVD with the Slicksters music playing. That just ruined everything.
It's just... I mean, but that's the thing, like... Because I wasn't expecting that in the movie. You know what I mean? Like, they were going to go that far. They definitely have sex in the book, but it's not as... They don't have, like, you know... It's not, like, that detailed. But they do have that joke. So it's... I guess Zack Snyder's like, you know what? I think I know how to make this joke better.
So do you think it worked good?
I don't. I think it's fine, because, like, in so much darkness of the film, you need those light points. You know what I mean? Because, like, there's a lot of stuff I felt was funny. Anything involving sex, if you think about it, was pretty funny in that movie. Because even when Dr. Manhattan was turned into three people, that was a sex
movie. And then he was like actually working on formulas or something, and wasn't really there.
Yeah. So if you think about it, like, the Watchmen is just sort of like it's like this. Everything's sort of upside down. In a way.
Well, the whole movie is basically a joke.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a joke on everyone except for the comedian.
Exactly.
He's the only one that gets it.
That's why the fucking movie, that's why the story is awesome, dude.
But see, you know, he says that it's all just a big joke.
Yeah, changed my outlook on everything was The Watchmen, the way that I was like, why do I have to take all this shit so seriously, man? Can't you see what's really happening? You know? That's how I, like, started looking at everything. I fucking read that book in 8th grade, and I really dreaded it, too, because it was huge.
Yeah. I mean, that's a lot to take in 8th grade.
And, like, to me, I was like, what the? They're using real words? You know? I was like, what is this Afghanistan stuff?
Did you even understand, like, some of it when you were in 8th grade?
No, I definitely did. I understand a whole lot of it. But I read it every single year up to like, today.
Mm-hmm.
And then every year, there's more new stuff that you can enjoy.
It's like, you know, with all these books that I read in high school that I had to read again in college as an English major.
Yeah.
I didn't understand them when I read them in high school.
Like
there was stuff in them that, you know, I understood it on a basic level, high school level, but then understanding on a college level is a totally different level of understanding.
Yeah. Well, we actually talked about one subject the whole time, guys. So
actually two.
Two. But
That's a record.
That is. Well, that's the end of this show. My name is Joe.
My name's Carolyn.
Thanks, Huzzard.
And I'm Huzzard.
Thank you.
See y'all later.
See you next week.